Howdy, friends. We're back again with, I should have rehearsed this. Chris Badada.
That's pretty close. It's Badahta. I usually just go by Crispy, though. It just makes it easier for people.
Or DJ Blue, as he's known on the interwebs.
That's true.
Are you a DJ?
No, I wish I was musically talented. It's like from back when I was, much younger, played video games, and it was a nice handle that I put together. And it's just stuck with me ever since, and it's like unique enough that I can probably find it everywhere I go, so I just keep using it.
Yeah, that's funny. My little brother has a name like that. He keeps using Pat Clinette.
So, fun fact that since this was recorded, I actually talked to Tommy, and he kind of filled me in on some of the backstory here. So that name was also created with his gamer friends when he was in high school. And it's because he would watch this YouTuber called Cat Planet. And they were like, har, 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 what if we just swapped the C and the P? And so that is how Pat Clinette was born.
He just picked a random name and it was like his Discord. And now he just like, this isn't, I'm like, you need to clarify that your name is not Pat nor Clinette.
No, it's super confusing. Yeah, because it's an actual name.
yeah. So DJ Blue, Chris Badada, mm-hmm. Badata, Badada. Mm-hmm. What origin is your last name?
It's Arabic. So.
Oh, cool. So I'm totally mispronouncing it. I apologize.
That's good.
I guess we'll start in the beginning. How long have you been programming? How long have you been doing Clojure? What languages did you start with? Did you go to college? Did you do something else in college? Let's start from the beginning.
Yeah. I would say it's probably been like since high school, but not like in an official capacity. Like I didn't take classes in high school. I broke our family's computer and felt bad about it and was like, how do I fix this? I'm like, oh, you could get like a Windows license, but it's cheaper if you just do something like Ubuntu or something. So then I kind of went down the Linux route and then inevitably learned some Bash and then learned. It was a whole Linux journey. When I was younger, that kind of really got me started with like technology and like at that point I was like, oh, I really want to do CS, right? I got really into Linux. I did go to university. I went to ASU I did a computer science degree. It was a lot of fun. I met some people that I work with previously and currently. So let's see. I don't know what else is interesting.
How long ago was that?
Oh, yeah. I guess I didn't give any time frames. Let's see. I graduated high school in like 2010. And then like college in 2015. And then ever since then, I've been working.
Oh my God. We're the same age. That's 2010. When you said that, I'm like, huh. Well, you know how you always use like relative bases to tell you their age. I'm like, oh, wait, there's nothing to.
Yeah, you can do offsets.
It's funny that you say you got your start on Linux. I'm child free, but I had always thought to myself, if I did have children, then I would, as far as like to solve the like media computers, like what to limit, because I know that that's such a big concern these days. I would let them have a computer, but I would make them build it themselves and use Linux. From then on out, you know, you can do whatever you want, kids, but that's something I always like laugh to myself that I would that would be how my kids would earn their computer privileges.
Yeah, if you want to learn how to use, or if you want the like privilege of using a computer, you have to learn like how it works.
I think that's really hard. Kids today are so technologically driven in some ways, but then in other ways, they don't have a basic understanding. It used to be with those older like box computers, even Microsoft, we recognized file structures, kind of had an idea of what's going on under the hood. And now, you know, when kids grow up on like cell phones and tablets, it like obfuscates all of that. And so people Gen Z don't even know like what a file is, I've heard, like what a folder, you know, they don't understand directory structure because they've never been exposed to it.
Yeah. And I feel, and like the other thing too, is like, I feel like, what is it called? with like touch input, like for me, that's peculiar. Like I can use it, but it's not where I feel comfortable. Whereas I feel like for like newer generations, it's the opposite, where they feel way more comfortable on their phone or like a tablet versus like a keyboard and mouse. So yeah, it's weird.
Like whenever they make you sign your name with a mouse and you're like, what? Like how am I supposed to expect to be at this coordination?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So you started with Linux. Do you consider yourself a back-end dev or a front-end dev or truly full stack? Where do you feel like, you know, your origins were? Where do you feel like you are now? Have you grown? Has that changed?
I think I used to like consider myself like more front-end than back-end, but I feel like now, especially with like Clojure, it's like it's all the same to me at least. So I would say like I'm truly full stack, and I feel like that's not saying much in Clojure land for me, because it's like it's the same model on the front end and the back end. You're kind of just like moving stuff around, which Clojure makes it really easy to do that. So I think that's what I would say. It's like truly full stack. And I feel like a lot of people on my team right now are also truly full stack, even if they're not like super comfortable with React, which is like I think a lot of people tend to use for front end. It's fine, because like as long as you know a little bit of HTML, a little bit of CSS, you can just sprinkle it in as you need it, or just use existing components and kind of recompose them. Because that's a lot of times what we do anyways. We're not rebuilding everything from scratch all the time. We're just kind of like tweaking things. I feel like full stack is what I would say.
Yeah, that resonates so hard, because I consider myself very much the same thing because of Clojure and Clojure Script. Although today I was having to write stuff. I had started to write a JavaScript, Objective-C, and Java today, which was a lot. Yeah, I think Dave, I was pairing with David, luckily enough, so he's really like guiding a lot of the Objective-C and Java stuff. But yeah. Never thought I'd see the day. I thought I was just going to make everybody else deal with that
first.
So apparently couldn't get away for too long. So what got you into Clojure? What pulled you in?
Yeah. Okay. So it's interesting because in college, I took like this class that was to expose you to different programming languages. So they went over like C, C++, they went over Prolog, and they went over Scheme. And I remember being like, what is Scheme? Like it's so weird. I didn't like it. Like the parens, like I tried to format my Scheme code, like my C code, and it just looked terrible, and I didn't get it, and I kind of hated it. And then, but I think by like senior year, maybe I had found the SICP videos, and that's when it clicked. And I was just like, oh, okay. I see why this is so much easier. So I feel like that for me was what kind of brought me into like, Lisps, at least, is like seeing how you could do way more with way less. And it kind of felt really empowering. Like a lot of times I had felt like overwhelmed or kind of like there's like helpless sometimes. I was like, oh, if only I could express that thing. But with Lisp, Scheme, and then also with like way more with Clojure and Clojure Script, I feel totally empowered to do whatever I can think of. Like I think in the SICP videos, at least, like the only limitation to what you can build in computer science is like your imagination. And like that is true, I feel like.
Yeah, so. Yeah. There's that metaphor of programming is magic, and I love that so much. And you know, you can cast other people's spells, you can write your own spells, you can do anything. The only real rule is that parentheses mean things.
Yeah.
So you found Scheme, and how did that lead into Clojure? Did you just kind of naturally find like, okay, like why not Haskell?
So at the same time I was like building some web apps for the like tutoring center that I worked for, and I knew JavaScript, I knew Node, I knew like I had just started learning React, I think, and I had really like been like, oh this is like React for me was like a big like mind opener as well, because before React I had done like some jQuery, some Backbone, and they had worked, and they were better than just like manipulating the DOM manually all the time. because it at least gave you structure. But then I saw React, and I was like, oh my God, this is what I want. This is how I want to write UIs. And then, oh, with ClojureScript, I could use all the things I already knew. Like I could program it on the web. I could use React's model essentially with Reagent. And in fact, it was better because you had way less tooling. You could just write Hiccup and be like, there you go, there's your app. So I think that's what led me to like Clojure. At least ClojureScript was like I could write Lisp, but use all the things that I wanted to use and knew how to use. So.
Oh, cool. So Scheme, Clojure, classic tale. We've heard this before.
Yeah.
And so how did you, as far as professionally, did you, you know, when you knew you were ready to go into the workforce, did you immediately go in and start applying for Clojure jobs? Did you do a couple of, you know, you were in the tutoring center, you did JavaScript. How did that journey look for you?
I don't think I looked for ClojureScript jobs. I didn't know that there were, like, now that I have a Clojure and ClojureScript job, there's way more jobs than I thought there'd be. There aren't like a huge number like JavaScript, but there's way more than I thought. So I didn't really look that hard. So I just got a Java JavaScript job and did that for a couple years until I went to the Conj and I met some people and they were like, hey, we're hiring Clojure people. I'm like, really? Oh, awesome.
Oh my gosh, that's so we have the same story is what I'm hearing. Pretty much exactly the same story because I self-taught, but I self-taught from like Scheme and SICP. And then I was learning some like Python to, you know, cause I thought I'd have to do like a crappy Python job. And then I went to the Conj and I met some people and it was just like the world of Clojure exploded. Which was, you're really, really cool. It's nice that you had that experience. And now I know that Daniel, who was on a few episodes ago, is really getting the Clojure job. The Clojure Brave and True job boards are, he's really building that up. And so hopefully anybody that's hearing this and is like, oh no, how do I find a Clojure job? No more conges. I want to direct them to go to the Clojure Brave and True job board because that is a place, a resource that you can use.
Yeah, so that's awesome.
So was your first job Clojure or ClojureScript?
So I got lucky in that I was able to do both at the same time. And it was like full stack. And then like the team that I was on like really embraced Clojure and kind of let me run with it in other directions too. Like we have our like build tooling is Clojure. So we deployed to Kubernetes and like, so you need YAML. And I was like, I don't want YAML. It's just like another thing. And like, we wanted to do this like thing that's like PR deploys where we can do one-off deploys, but we kind of need to interact with Kubernetes. So that means YAML. But I'm like, what if we took the YAML, turned it into Eden, and then just used Clojure functions to manipulate it to kind of like template it and then spit out JSON, because that's really easy too, and then just pipe that to Kubernetes. So like we have in our current, at my current job, on my current team, we have like everything is Clojure. Like our CI is Clojure, our front end is Clojure, our back end is Clojure. We also have like some tooling that we've written on the side to kind of help us and also onboard new people that's all Clojure. So it's like, it's everything that I wanted in a Clojure job. It's the first one I got.
That's great. So where, what company are you at?
I'm at Guaranteed Rate, I think I've been there for a little bit more than 2 years now, so it's been a lot of fun.
Okay, so are you in Chicago?
No. They're based in Chicago. I'm based in Phoenix. So I was like, it's actually interesting because I was one of the few people who was remote when I first came on. But at this point, like I would say, the majority of the team is remote. It's crazy how like the pandemic has like shifted how we work. It's nuts.
Yeah. Okay. Wait, the Conj that you went to, what year was it?
It was the last one. It was 2019.
Okay. So we actually have the same exact story. Mine was 2019 as well.
Oh, okay.
And I remember there was a bunch of Guaranteed Rate people. And actually, I applied and I got denied. I did not get that job.
Oh,
I mean, they missed out. It was fair. I was self. But, I mean, to be fair, my like homework assessment, you know, I was using a lot of like non-idiomatic things that at the time, because I'd really only done like tutorials and like, you know, I was using, for example, I wasn't using valid destructuring all the time. I was using like the function call get instead of just like a key.
Oh,
map.
Gotcha. Yeah,
you know, there were some things that like, if you saw it, you'd be like, oh, they're clearly not experienced enough. But yeah, so I got denied for that. But I remember at the time they were like, no, you got to move out to Chicago for this. It was at that time. So it's just funny that lines up. And I'm glad because I would not have liked moving out to Chicago.
It's cold there. Cold. I mean, yeah, I had to visit them like pre-pandemic. Well, I didn't have to. I wanted to like, you know, meet the team and kind of get onboarded. And it was cold. I'm not used to it because like in Phoenix, it's very nice and warm. Sometimes too warm. Yeah. But
I currently live in Virginia where we do have winters, but I am. Actually, I just found out today that I got approved for in June and moving to Sarasota. So I'm looking very forward to getting rid of like my entire Sarasota, Florida. I see your
confusion. Oh, shoot. Okay. Yeah. I was trying to think about where that was.
Yeah. Dang. And I'm looking very forward to getting rid of my winter wardrobe. Most of it anyway. I don't need to keep a Four Seasons wardrobe if I'm living in Florida.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, I like the warm weather. So did you grow up in Phoenix? Or no, you said you went to college around there, right?
Yeah. I've kind of lived all over the country at different points in time. But I've probably lived the longest stretch of my life in Phoenix. So I pretty much call it home. I've been here since the beginning of high school, I want to say. And like previously, before that, I had also lived here like for a couple of years and we like moved around. But yeah, so I would say like Phoenix is home.
Okay, cool. So Guaranteed Rate was kind of your dream job, and that, you know, they do all Clojure and all ClojureScript. I know that you have some open source work that you've been working on. When did you decide to do that? What was the main drive? Was it just like, all right, I got to give back, or was it like a noble quest for, I don't want to say recognition, but you know, everybody wants their thing. Or was it like, were you solving a problem that you had yourself?
I would say it was probably more of solving a problem for myself. Like, so when I first joined GR, I was dealing with like these larger data structures and kind of trying to deal like large and nested, and trying to deal with them was kind of like a headache sometimes. When they would get pretty printed in like the Emacs REPL, or even in Vim, because I've switched between Vim and Emacs a little bit, but they would just like freeze up. No. I went from Vim to Emacs.
Okay, that's better. It's okay. I'm one to talk. You don't want to know how much of a traitor I am. Anyway, go on.
No, I know. I've seen that. Wait, was it a tweet? I think you're using IntelliJ now.
Okay. I started with PyCharm and then I used IntelliJ. Well, Lighttable. Yeah, PyCharm, Emacs. I had VS Code because I just can't not have it at this point. And yeah, IntelliJ now, and Emacs. I used to use all of them. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Let's see. But so like dealing with these large data structures was kind of like painful, and I was like, is there something better? And then I also, there was like this also this other element of me wanting to be able to use like the same tool for both ClojureScript and Clojure, and kind of making it really easy to kind of deal with, like, I wouldn't say like huge data structures, but like intermediate. So that's where like I kind of got started working on this tool that I work on in the open source called Portal. It lets you kind of just throw data at it. And I think at this point I've been working on it for like a little bit less than 2 years, because I started GR and then a couple of months later I was like, I wonder if I can build something. And I didn't just build it. Like, I think there were some other things around at the time. Like REPL was, I think I really enjoyed that like talk that Sir Holloway gave on REPL, and it kind of like, it was like, I was really excited about like the aspect of visual tools with Clojure, because it made a lot of sense. I think there's like REPL, there's Reveal that was also out, I think, was it out at the time? I'm not sure. I think it may have been a little bit later. I'm trying to remember the timelines. But then also like Shadow CLJS has a pretty good inspector. There are a bunch of like tools in the ecosystem, but they kind of all have their own niche, I guess is what. And I was like, I wonder if there's like this, you know, shape that I think Portal could fit in. But yeah, that's kind of like the open source work that I do.
Yeah, so I guess Control C, Control P wasn't good enough for you. You needed more.
wait, Control C, Control P, is that a call?
Yeah, Insider, it's when you want to like evaluate a REPL, but like in a different window, where like it'll bring up all the data in like a different window and kind of pretty print it. I think it pretty printed for you.
But was this Cider? Is this Cider Inspector? Is that what this is?
Yeah.
And
I think that's
what. Does that work in ClojureScript? I can't remember. Like, there's like this intersection of things that work in ClojureScript.
Yes.
And not in Clojure. It does work in ClojureScript. Okay.
It does work in Clojure. Most of my real world writing experience has been in ClojureScript, because professionally that's where I end up. So if I guess I'm going to say yes based on the fact that I know the key command well enough.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. But I think I was using Vim at the time, right? So there's like this weird timeline where I think I started using Emacs at the beginning of like 2021. So there was a period of time where I was at, you know, doing Clojure professionally, and I was still using Vim.
Yeah, that's I only say that jokingly. And Portal is definitely a step up from that. But that's kind of the same. I understand that struggle when you have so much data and you need to get it out like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, like you said, the Shadow now has. It used to be called ReefRisk. It's called ReefRisk. It's called something 10X. It's called 10X now. That's the inspector in there.
Oh, gotcha. Wait, no, I think that's for Reframe. I think, is that what you're talking about? Like Reframe 10X?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, did I say something else?
Well, I think you said Shadow.
I must have said a different
again,
word.
There is, I think.
I did say Shadow.
Yeah. And like there's a lot of like variations in the like tools, which is a good bad thing, right? Because then you have to like figure out which one you can use for your use case.
Shadow has taps. I guess all of it has taps. Okay. Yeah, I'm just remembering the different. Oh my, I'm so far removed from a lot of that like web app stuff now that it's like almost hard to.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because I'm the native. Yeah. I've been doing some native apps lately that. Oh boy, do I miss the days? Do I miss the days of a clear instructor inspector?
Wait, so are you using like React Native at all in the work that you do?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We use we use at Vouch. We use React Native. Their SDK is built in between. That's why I was having to do some like Objective-C and Java today. Was to kind of. To interact with the Android versus iOS.
Okay.
And then as far as a REPL, we use the Krell REPL, because the Krell REPL REPLs into the React Native app. And a lot of times when I dev on my personal phone. Like I will build the app I will build the app on my Apple phone and I will REPL into, typically you'd have like a web app, like a browser, just open on your computer, but the browser is my phone, is the app on my phone. And, so it's a really, really cool experience. And I don't think there are that many people doing it, but it is very complex and, you lose a lot of, I guess the niceties of a lot of the things that come with all of those packages, like Reframe and, like we have some reagent, I will say. Mm-hmm. But you lose a lot of that. But what you gain is like my understanding for all of these things are just so much deeper. And I bet you can relate to that with having, you know, built Portal. Like where did you start? And what have you learned as far as like, you know, the rabbit holes of understanding that I'm sure that you've gone down to build this tool?
Yeah. It was if I'd known how much work it would have been, I probably would have been like, maybe I shouldn't. but yeah, so I think the way I started it was like, I just got an HTTP server up and running and used transit to serialize some data structures, pipe that over to, the UI via like HTTP. I didn't even have WebSockets. I was just like you know, just pull HTTP and send that data just straight to a reagent component. And that was it. That was like the stack for a while. But I ran into like some issues around transit, just because like when you're a library, you don't get to choose what version of the dependencies you have. And that's something that I'd never had to worry about, because I was always like a consumer and not like a provider of libraries. And so this ends up being important though, when you have like this core dependency and you can't control the version. So I was getting like older versions of transit and I needed this newer feature. So I was like, I can't quite use transit, because like then this tool would always work. So I was like, oh, well, now I have to go down the rabbit hole of serialization and kind of providing something that would always work within Portal. And I think I could have vendored transit, but I would have also needed to vendor the CLJS version and the CLJ version and potentially the Java libraries as well. So yeah, serialization has been like a lot of work to get it right. But for the most part now it works, and it's pretty nice, because you just kind of like get the data structures in ClojureScript and you could just render them however you want now. So kind of the most recent work that I've been doing is like, it's been really fun using spec to match certain shapes and being like, oh, that's an exception, or at least that's the datification of an exception, because you have these keys, which have these values. Let me render it this way instead of that way. Or that looks like, you know, XYZ, right? Being able to leverage spec to kind of see if this fits the shape and then choosing a viewer based on that has been a lot of fun. So I hope that answers part of the question.
Yeah. Well, we're just trying to, you know, find out about your favorite rabbit hole. I think is always, asking people that question. What is your favorite rabbit hole you've ever fallen down, period?
Implementing a scheme. So one of the things that you do in SICP, right, is you implement a scheme, but I wanted to implement a scheme to implement my scheme in. So that was like, so I was like, with nothing, can I implement, and by nothing I meant in C, right, with like the bare minimum, can I implement something to bootstrap? And that was a rabbit hole. But it was a lot of fun, because I got to learn like how you would potentially implement like, you know, calling a function and how you can kind of push stuff on the stack. And then I think implementing your own language, and the easiest language in my opinion to implement, is something like a scheme, because the syntax is trivial. You get a lot of like insight into how the underlying mechanics of the things you use every day work, whether it's like how you can convert lets to lambdas or the other way around, or there's this really cool thing that they did in SICP where they built const cells out of functions. And it makes a lot of sense when you implement the stack and you're like, oh yeah, it's just because you're like closing over things. So I would say that was probably my like funnest like rabbit hole. Not very productive outside of like learning, of course.
Oh, of course. I mean, anything done in the pursuit of learning is productive, because what even is productive? Is productive just
That's true.
Something that makes you money? Is productive something that makes you happy? Like what even is that word?
No, that's true. That's a little bit harsh.
So I have to ask you, is it Portal, like the video game Portal, like the OG, yes. Portal?
No, that's exactly it. Because like in the game, right, you like use these tools to solve puzzles, and like your program is a puzzle that you're trying to understand, and you can use, and also you get to go places that you wouldn't normally get to go. So that's kind of like, that's the analogy, of course. So I'm glad you caught on to it. And hopefully it's fun as well, right? Hopefully it's fun to use the tool.
Well, it does. I think it's really hard to name repos and name libraries, and Portal is a perfect name. Because it has the fun reach into, like, because I mean, that's a pretty classic video game, and a lot of devs are obviously previously gamers, and that's especially because it's like one of the like OG puzzle games. Instead of just being like a, you know, Super Smash, like a fighter, or like a and so that's cool. Based on this, so are you looking for contributors? Is there any particular area that you think needs contribution? Is it stable as and if so, how can somebody contribute?
Yeah. So am I looking for contributors? I think, yeah, if people want to like contribute, and there's like a bunch of ways to contribute. Like, I think feedback is really nice. Like, hey, I used this and it didn't make sense. Or hey, I used this and it didn't make sense. Maybe we should document it. Like contributing features is also nice. Like there's been a bunch of people who are like, hey, I'm really interested in making this happen. Here's some code. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Let's see, if we could like tweak this one thing, it's perfect now. In terms of stability, I feel like I always want it to be like stable, like and usable, because I think the value in it always being stable is that people get to use it. And when people get to use it, you get to learn how it works and how it doesn't work. And how, like, I think when you build a tool, you don't necessarily understand how the workflow around it will be. And I think that's still something I figure out. So like having people explore that space has been really nice. Like, there's been a person recently, like in the Portal Slack channel, who's like hooked it. He has like deep hooks into it from Emacs, where like, I don't know what Hydra is, but I know that's involved. He's using like Hydra to map shortcuts from Emacs into Portal. And it's just like this awesome bit of elisp that he has set up. So I think that's what I'm interested in, is like, what are the interesting workflows that we can enable? Recently I've been working on, whenever you evaluate something and it has like an assertion, like is or are, or like test assertions, I think closure tests will generate output and usually it just prints it, but you can add your own like reporter, and I can like, hey, for me, I want to take my reporter and pipe that data structure to Portal. And then Portal can be like, oh, I see that this is test assertion outputs. Let me render it this way, to kind of make it a little bit easier. Cause I think, I don't know if you've dealt with this, but sometimes with like tests, if you're like matching big data structures and you just kind of be like, this big thing doesn't equal this big thing, it can be frustrating. Whereas here, totally. That's the problem that like Portal solves. It's like this big thing, this big thing. It's really easy to deal with them now.
Oh, I love that tagline. That's like the opener of the docs. It's like Portal solves that, you know, or I don't know if it is, but it should be like Portal solves matching, you know, do you have big things? The things are too big. We got you. We match the big things. Exactly. So you could do big things.
Exactly.
So going back, shifting back to a little bit of, you know, just like closure community stuff. Yeah. You know, what challenges did you have initially getting into the closure community, and what challenges do you think still exist in the closure community?
Yeah, let's see. I think when I first joined, I always had an issue with getting a closure script REPL working for me. I don't know if you had this when you first started. Like getting closure REPLs working was always like the easy one, and then closure script was a little bit harder. And sometimes you wouldn't get like autocomplete working, and sometimes you would, and I didn't know why. And like I had to kind of dig into some of that stuff. But I think recently, and maybe this is like heresy, I don't know, I've really been enjoying using Closure LSP because I'm because it's like it doesn't lean on your runtime for information, which is nice because sometimes the runtime you run in doesn't have all of the reflection information that you would need for a good developer like experience. And I don't know why, but when I first started like Closure and Closure Script, I was really against static analysis. I was like, no, it's cool. My REPL does everything. And kind of like, as you know, the last like year, I think I've been like, no, I'll just use Closure LSP and it'll help. Like navigation always works. Documentation always works. And it works across, like I have code that runs in Babashka. I have code that runs in like Node, code that runs in the JVM, code that runs in Plonk, because like Plonk is a cool runtime that like Mike Weiss has. It's Bootstrap Closure Script, which is interesting, and I want to be able to run code there and navigate from code there. And in Closure LSP works really well for that. The like same thing with CLJ Condo, right? That all the analysis information that you get for. I love CLJ Condo. It's like it's so great at being like, hey, you forgot this little thing. You need to remove this import. Like it's those little things that I think really improve the quality of life. But anyway. Yeah, like
just big thanks to Bork Dude in general, because like half the tools you named, you know, implemented by him.
Yeah,
and yeah. I know, yeah, he uses Closure, and it's not heresy for Closure LSP. Yeah. I am constantly recommending it to people, especially because in if you do use like, you know, Emacs or Vim, if you're used to being in other IDEs that are like really developed, you have that like super great refactoring support, like super great like all of that stuff. And, you know, as a, you know, grumpy Emacs dev in my heart, I understand that, you know, that is the pinnacle of being, but also it, and now we have CL, you know, CLJ Conda to help, but like also some refactoring support would be nice, you know, to not have to do something beyond like, you know, Alt Shift 5 would be. So yeah, I'm constantly, I don't know, that's not heresy at all.
Is that rename?
It's find and replace.
Find and replace. Oh,
like
okay.
I would like. Oh yeah. Yeah, it's like refactoring. I would literally just like make a like macro. You know, yeah. Just have to go to every do an ag search, like a silver searcher,
yeah,
ag search of all of the places, and then have that window open, and then go into each of those places, the top of the file, and do find and replace. And like, I guess that's an okay process, but it doesn't have to be that way, because like in every other, you know, IDE, you could just like right click. Like I have a joke. I say like npm do the thing. It's like right click npm do the thing. Like just
like, do it. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
So yeah, anything that makes our jobs easier is totally is great. You know.
It's, yeah.
It's, aren't we all into this because we really like automating things to like an excessive?
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess my other question kind of leads in what we were talking about as, you know, who do you think of and who do you kind of look up to as some of the thought leaders in the community? You know, I guess you and I are kind of young guns in the closure world anyway. And you know, we got MuShields is amazing. And I know I have my list, but you know, who has really been inspirational for you to look up and be like, wow, that person.
Well, I mean, it's hard because, like, it's hard not to say Rich Hickey, right? Because he, like, made a lot of this possible. But I think there's, outside of Rich Hickey, there's, like, a lot of people that I think contribute a lot of, like, a lot to, like, the, like, idea space, I guess. Like, Mike Fikes is one of them. David Nolan is another one who, these people all do, like, a great job, like, communicating this information, too. I think that's what I really enjoy is, like, not only are they like experts in their fields, but they can like communicate these ideas, which I feel like that's the really hard part is like disseminating this information.
We have a because we use Discord because we're trendy at our work Discord. We have a like sharing is caring channel.
Oh.
And that thing is always on fire between,
that's awesome.
Between Mike Fikes, between myself, between actually David doesn't post in it as much. He'll just be like, I'm presenting on Friday. And then, you know, practices nice, talks like internally on us. Yeah. And then, yeah, and actually, like I said, it was great. I got to pair with him for a few hours today. Yes. Let me just like download your brain, please. Like NPM steal your brain.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I think you bring up a really wonderful point that like, you know, the distinction between having knowledge and sharing knowledge and like a great thought leader can do both eloquently. And like, you know, it's just it's important. I do half of that. I share information. I don't, because some people like have the thought and share the thought. I at least can help other people share the thoughts, I hope, is my goal. But yeah, that's really important.
I've enjoyed the like talks you've given as well. I think you gave one at the last, I can't remember what it was called, but it was on like views. And I was like, this is a very similar problem that I'm solving in Portal, which is like dispatching for views. So yeah.
Oh, at, Closure D last year.
Yeah.
That, and it is. And it's so funny cause it's like, unless you run into these problems, you don't run into these problems.
Yeah.
And then if like, I'm glad that that resonated with somebody because I felt, you know, especially when you give a talk virtually, it's like, you don't, it was like pre-recorded and everything, you know, I didn't really I'm like, oh, did anybody get it? I hope they got it. I don't know if they got it or not.
Yeah.
But that's cool true. To hear. Thanks.
Yeah.
I mean, really. And I mean, of course you liked it. Cause it was like, just like SICP will, SIC Pequel, it was just, you know, chapter 3/chapter 7, just regurgitated. But I don't know. I think it's relevant. In Closure Script to pass their values instead of
Yeah. Cause like it's much easier to kind of introspect when you like I think that was it. Like it was printing, right? You like it's much harder to see functions than it is to see data. Even though you could treat them the same, they're harder to look at. because one's opaque and one's not.
Yeah, that was the whole point of that talk is we're cool, we're functional programmers, but really like data driven is kind of I've started to see that is better for me, especially with closure script when you have so many layers in between that, and you know you're going to help yourself out. It's just as easy to pass through values with a dispatch to do the thing instead of just being screwed over by, oh my God, what object 302989F1. Oh no.
Yeah. Cause you can serialize data too. Like, so on that note, like we do this really cool thing at my job where we have like a back end driver for our front end. And the way it works is that it can ask our UI what its state is. And the UI is just like, it takes all of its state, serializes it Eden, which is really easy. It's print string, and then ships it to the server. And the server is like, I know what state you're in. I'm not going to do this yet. I'm going to wait, or I'm going to do this instead. And it's like being able to like get a snapshot of what your system is doing is so powerful because you can do so many things with it. So like the way like I tend to dev, because our application is data driven, is I'm just like at the REPL saying, okay, because our app is like a wizard of sorts. So I'm just like, okay, fill in next, fill in next, fill in next. And I never really interact with the UI because I have a program to do it for me automatically. And it's sourcing input. Like that's the other piece, is like our input is also this big map. So are this like driver can ask the UI what state it's in. Okay, you're on this page. Let me go look up input for that page. Okay, now fill out the page and then click next. And like all that's automated because it's all data driven. It's all like you can, it is, I think the data driven part is the superpower.
Anyway. Especially like, you pick that up with the like they call them the Rich Hickey comment blocks, because then you can even if you do it and you can set up sample data or whatever you want, and you can leave a little breadcrumb for like future self instead of like I do believe in like doc strings and documentation, but it's so much more powerful to just have a little comment block like sample data, like this is supposed to be input, like I don't know, it's easier for me to conceptualize. That's how I prefer to consume code, is using that style with comment blocks. I'm glad that other people are on the
I love the data-driven aspect of closure. It's the thing that empowers you, I think, the most, because there's also one little tidbit, which is that like the input that we use for running our program, we got from just grabbing that part of the state and saving it to a file, and that was it. So like let's say your application changes, which like that the Laravel apps are always changing all the time.
Yeah,
so
you have to keep this whole point.
Yeah, but that causes a maintenance burden, right, for all your test input, right, because it's no longer valid or it's changed or whatever. So you just I got to go through manually one more time. Okay, snapshot this part of the state that represents the input, write that to the file, and then everything should presumably continue to work as long as you didn't do anything crazy, right? But yeah, I just it's so good.
Yeah, and I think we are in, we agree about, functional programming, I get it, OG, awesome. But you throw away a lot of the advantages of the REPL if you insist on doing every passing through functions on everything, because as we were talking about, it's not introspectable. And so why not take the best of both worlds? Why not, pick and choose what, and kind of gain the efficiency from all the different paradigms? Is where I've gotten to at it. I often joke that like I'm a data driven developer like hiding in a functional programming cloak. But yeah, it's and also it's fun. It makes the feedback loop fun when you can just like super get in your flow state. Like you said, you don't need to touch the UI. Even better when in closure script, when you figure out that you don't actually need your mouse, then everything you can do, you can just use your REPL. Like if you need to click a button, you don't need to actually do that. You can just run the function that's hooked up to the on click on the button.
Yeah, exactly.
That is a, there are several things I think about like leaps and bounds in my, my personal development where one of them was going from line again to like depths.eden and like really understanding data and like what it is and that whole thing. That was one conceptual leap. Then the other thing, another conceptual leap was, oh my gosh, I don't even need to touch the mouse pretty much like ever. And it's just so powerful.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that like the consequence too is that like you get to leverage tools like Portal, like Rebel, like Reveal, like the Shadow Inspector, like, because they're really good at being like, hey, here's your data. So mm-hmm. I think that's the like flip side.
Yeah, that's always where when I'm trying to solve a problem, I always start. Actually, funny, that's when I first learned programming, called like the def and test. I still solve problems exactly the same way I did back then, which is, you know, what is the input I'm going to get? What is the output that I need to get? And then just filling in the space in between. And, you know, it becomes when you just reduce it to that very simple, you know, start with mock data that you're putting in. When you reduce it, it's all these complexities really kind of fall away. And it's a fun way to work.
Yeah, yeah. It's nice too, because you don't need to load up the entire system in your head. You're just like, oh, this is all I care about right now. I'm very focused.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I miss it. but okay, is there anything else that you know, any other thoughts you had? Anything you want to share? Anything you want to ask for? Any, you know, like, hi mom, you know, anything like that?
let me see. I feel like that was probably everything. We can talk more about Portal if you like have any more questions about Portal. But yeah, I'm not sure.
I think we covered it. And I always say this, but I always fail by doing this. But the ideal, people like content that's within like 30 minutes to 45 minutes. Once you go up into 50, like 5-0, into an hour, people just, I know, because I do it too when I'm in a car and I have a podcast. Like if I have a 48 minute podcast versus a, you know, hour and 2 minutes, how much is that difference really? Not much, but I'm definitely choosing like the 48 minute one. I find that, we are getting to the end of the session here.
Okay.
So to cover what we covered before, open source tool called Portal helps you introspect your data. You got big things, you want to do big things. Portal is your tool. If you want to work with fabulous people like yourself and do fabulous things, guaranteed rate, GR, from my understanding, is pretty much always hiring. And don't you get some sort of something for alley-ooping something?
Yeah.
And so Chris is DJ Blue on Slack. If you want to send a message, if you're interested in GR, and you know, we can put you through, because I'm pretty sure you get some sort of referral. I know. I remember from the Conj, everyone was like fighting.
Yeah. Over, like, exactly.
This is my referral.
Gotta get the referral bonus.
Yeah. The referral bonus. That's what it is. We can also, you can check out the Portal Slack channel. If you have more questions about Portal or how to use it, and really the contributions that we're looking for here have to do with using it in as many different environments to solve as many different bespoke problems as possible, just to get that real world experience. And so on that note, I will thank you folks for listening again. And yay, I'm actually going to get a podcast like under 5-0 minutes. I'll see you later. Bye.